Each year, the Austin American Statesman selects 12 individuals and families in Central Texas to participate in their Season for Caring giving campaign. These individuals and families are selected from nominations submitted by local nonprofit organizations like Wonders and Worries. For this episode, it is a complete privilege to be joined by this year's Wonders and Worries nomination, Innocente Lopez. Welcome to WonderCast, a community collaborative podcast supporting families navigating the complexities of chronic illness. WonderCast is made possible through the generous sponsorship of Texas Oncology. Texas Oncology, more breakthroughs, more victories, experts in cancer care. Immigrating to America at 12, helping to raise her sibling without parents at 14, and the incredible love story that followed. Innocente's story is one of bravery, determination, young love, faith, hope, and gratitude. I am so excited to share her with you today. This is Innocente.
My name is Innocente Lopez. I go by Gina too. I'm originally from Mexico, the south part of Mexico, a city called Puebla. And I'm from a little small town outside Puebla. It's about 3.5 hours approximately. Small town, like real deep in the mountains. So beautiful. A lot of mountains. I came to America a little bit before 13 years old. I lost my parents at different times. You know, my dad when I was 7, 12, when my mom died. My older sisters, they decided to bring 2 of the 3 last girls left in the family, and the younger ones stay in Mexico. So we are a big family. I love families, I tell you. And everybody who knows me, they know that I'm very family-oriented. I just love to keep my families together. My sisters, I mean, we are very close family. They brought me to America, and after losing my mom, we had to cross the border, Tijuana and San Diego. It was hard. It's a, you know, it's a bad experience for sure, you know, but we made it here. It's a hard process. It's a hard thing to do. You know, it was scary for sure. It's very scary. And not only that, I think I was just more scared too. Just to start in a new country. Just losing my mom.
Did you just speak Spanish at that point?
Just Spanish, yeah. I didn't even know my ABCs or anything like that. You know, you just never stop learning. I feel like I still have a long way to go, and I still learn new words, and I still try to put, you know, like keep learning new words. You never stop. Yeah, you never stop learning a language. I live a little bit with my older sisters. I'm the second of the youngest, but at that point, you know, they all were married. They all had kids, and somehow, you know, I just end up on my own, and my younger sister. At that time, she was already here in America. So just as I was almost 16 years old, and I have my own apartment in New York City, working in my cousins. We call them there like grocery store, like convenience stores. My cousins, they have a business like that. And they were nice enough to give me a job at almost 14 years old. I was already working with them. And I worked with them until, I think I want to say like closer to 19. I was able to work and still stay in school, like high school and part of college. I was able to put myself in college. I got an associate's degree in occupational therapy assistant, which I absolutely love to do. Work for rehabilitation hospital here in Round Rock. And I love it. I've been there for 16 years. When I was working at my cousin's convenience store, I met my husband, Giovanni. He lived on the same street. So I used to work at the corner. My daughters love when we go there because that street, 32nd and 34th Avenue, it has so many memories of us. You know, that's the place where I work. That's the place where my husband lived. And right across from the convenience store, that's where I used to live. That's where I have my apartment. It means so much. I mean, of course, for me, but also for my older daughter. She has a nice picture, and she has it on her phone screen. And when people say, oh, where is that? And she says, this photo has so much to tell. So that's how we met. I knew him. I mean, I saw him a little bit before I was 14 years old, really, because that's when I started working there. But at that time, you know, he had a girlfriend, and I was so busy myself, too, like with school and work. And not until we were, like, closer to 18 years old, that's when we started dating. There was this guy, an old man, I call him Santa Claus. He would come to the store every night to have a beer before he went home after work. And we became very, very good friends. And he knew, like, I didn't have parents, you know, like, he knew, like, that my sister and I lived there ourselves. He learned to really protect us in a way, to look after us. So nice. So every night he would come, and honestly, he looked like Santa Claus because he was old with a long, white beard, big belly. And one day he just showed up and he sat down. I guess he waited for my husband to come in and Giovanni to come and to the store. And he, all the sudden, he said, Giovanni, I need to ask you for a favor. I won these two tickets on the radio for a concert. Can you please take Gina to this concert? And of course, my husband said, yes, of course, you know. And that's how we started dating. You know, he really wanted us together. And we were already talking a little bit before that and here and there. And he really put us together. He really liked Giovanni because every other guy that came and wanted to invite me somewhere or try to take me out, like he would stand right next to me and he would start like moving his leg and his eyes. And and I just knew he didn't like that, guys that tried to take me out or invite me somewhere or things like that. He really, really liked Giovanni. And you just know. You just know when it's the right person.
I love how he came into your life, this old man, to kind of be like a father figure. That's really incredible.
Yes. You know, Julie, the way I see it, you know, the way I see it now, maybe I didn't see it at the moment. I feel like I'm surrounded by angels. He's always been there. You know, God's been there. Angels been around me because there was no way in New York by myself, almost 16 years old, with my younger sister. And we did what we could, you know, like to behave ourselves, do good, not to fall into, you know, like drugs. Or I just feel like they're always angels. They were there beside us, you know, they were right beside me, my sister, you know, and they were taking care of us. You know, that's the way I see. And that guy, we call him Cubita because he's from Cuba. He was in Cuba with that. Yeah. He was there, you know. He didn't have to take care of me. You know, he didn't have to protect me. So, yeah, I wish you could see a picture. Yeah, I have a picture of him. So we married. We ended up getting married with my husband. And we knew New York as much as we love New York. It was very expensive, right? You know, we had dreams like buying a home and raising a family. We thought Florida would be a good place to start a family because homes were cheaper at that time. My husband's dad lives in Orlando. So we just decided to move to Orlando. We bought a house and then I got pregnant and we had Isabella, is my 20-year-old now. We lived there 3 years because the hurricane scared us away, I guess, because when we first moved there, we experienced Ivan. My daughter was born during those days that Charlie hit. It was very, very scary. And then right after that, other hurricanes hit. So my husband started talking to his best friend. And that was, started telling him, you know, that Texas was a good place. Homes were cheap at that time. You know, I don't like moving too much. Two of my sisters decided to move here too. Oh, for me, that's a gift for me, you know, because how close I am with my sisters and I feel lonely too in Orlando. So when they said they were moving here, I got really excited. I was just happy, you know, that I was going to have company and my daughter Isabella was going to have cousins to play with. And we knew, I don't know why we end up just having them too far apart, but I always say there's a purpose. That's the way God wanted it. Aaliyah came when Isabella was 12 years old. Isabella, she always wanted to have a sibling, you know, especially because I'm from a big family. We kind of wait a little bit, make sure everything financially okay or things like that, you know?
Yeah.
He's one like that. He's very like, he gets ready.
He's a planner.
That's the word, yeah. I mean, we just end up traveling a lot too with my daughter. We like traveling.
Has she ever gone back and seen Mexico?
Oh, yeah. I take them. Isabella's been multiple times. Aaliyah's been like 3 times already. My parents left just a tiny little piece of land for all the kids, right? Mm-hmm. And we're trying to conserve that little piece. The kids, we can pass it on to newer generations. And that's one thing I tell my daughter. Try to keep the memory, you know?
You've added all of this new experiences of new cities and traveling to your girls' lives. But I love that you've also connected them to your past. I love that your daughter has the corner where you met her dad as her screensaver on her phone.
Yeah, so she's a very amazing, like, not because she's my daughter, I mean, and just because she's my daughter, but she has a heart. I mean, both of them, the little one too, like, they treasure little things that we don't really think about things, you know, like, just like you said, just looking at the corner every time we go to New York. And I did tell her, that's the legacy I'm going to leave. Keep families together. Keep our family together. Love your sister, you know, just stay together. Like, no matter what happens, you know, let's just, you guys had to stay together. Even if I'm not here, you know, you guys had to be as close as you can, you know.
That's so important. And I think that they've seen that even with you, when you had experienced loss, how you and your sister stay together, even being so young. That's amazing. You've given them that incredible example already.
My older sisters now, we are so close to.
Mm-hmm.
And I love them. They know we love each other. So we have a beautiful sisterhood. The one that lived with me, the younger one,
mm-hmm.
Call her my little sister. That she's not little. We only like 1 year and a half different. We've been so close. At one point when she was in high school, you know, they always the one who they called to report anything, like for parent-teacher conferences and things like that. Even though I was just 1 year older than her, but she always saw me like maybe as a second mom, you know. But we are very, very close. And I mean, my sister here, my older sister, we, the three of us now, we have each other and we know that love, you know, is there. And they want to do more for me, but I tell them, if I get to that point, I take it. But I don't want them to overdo for me right now. Like, I'm still trying to be independent, as normal as I can.
You are so strong. Do you want to share a little bit about when you were diagnosed?
Yes. Around April, got a feeling when you have, like, food poisoning type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I started feeling, like, very bloated, and I started like just a lot of hiccups or lots of burps, nauseous, and to the point that I lost my appetite. And when I lost my appetite, I told myself and I told my husband, I like food, I like to eat. So I just decided to, okay, let me just go to the doctor just to maybe something make me sick, right? I went to the doctor and I told the doctor, you know, I feel like something made me sick, but the weird thing is, like, I even lost my appetite, and I feel very bloated, very tender, and it feels like it's been like this for a little bit, but now it's worse, you know? And she goes, okay, you know, we're going to check for H. pylori, this bacteria. She did the ultrasound, and the H. pylori test came up positive, so we're waiting for that. Ultrasound results. They call me like a day, I think it took. I don't remember exactly. Well, the ultrasound showed that there was a mass in my pancreas and my liver, possibly other areas. So they called me. They said you had to do an MRI as soon as possible. They did the MRI. They saw masses in my pancreas, my liver, my lungs, and there was fluid in my abdomen. They called us in to tell all this. And at that point, the doctor says we had to move fast because it looks like, you know, this cancer, you know, and it's pretty aggressive. Looks like it's aggressive. She starts making phone calls with, you know, with a surgeon, oncologist, to take me as soon as possible to do the biopsy. And they took me in. When you start this process, everything looks like, oh, everything is like waiting, you know. You had to wait for a week or two for biopsy. You had to wait till a week or three, four to see the oncologist. And it just happened that I met this oncologist I worked too. She was a daughter of my patient. And and she also like called me around that time and she asked me how I was doing. And I told her all about what was going on. And I told her I had to wait for the oncology surgeon to, you know, to take me in. She also made phone calls to move me as fast as they could. And the reason I like to mention that part, because, you know, as you can see, angels are, they're being around me for sure. So that doctor took me phone calls to the surgeon. They took me for a biopsy. And when they confirmed that I had pancreatic stage 4 with metastasis, which means already spread all over, you know, all the areas. The surgeon also decided to do a laparoscopy. It's like they drain me the fluid that I had, start talking about chemotherapy. I've been on chemo. I'm on my ninth treatment now. And I had to say that I've been responding well. I had to share this when I went in for endoscopy. You know, we should just sleep for 3 hours, I think. During that time, you know, I guess they were done with that. So the endoscopy, and they let me sleep. And finally, they woke me up, and I didn't feel scared, you know, like I was feeling before. I felt at peace. They took me to recovery, and then my husband picked me up when we were driving to home. And I told my husband that I had a dream during that time that I was asleep, that I dreamed that there were a lot of angels around me and with beautiful white dresses, big, beautiful wings, beautiful faces. I saw God beside me by the table, holding my hand. I couldn't see his face. I just saw a light, but I just saw his hand holding my hand. At that time, I just knew he was right with me, you know, that he would be beside me. He already showed me, even before I went to surgery, that I didn't meet the doctor at work just because, you know. That told me, like, I'm going to hold you tight. I'll be right beside you through this. Julie has been there. He has shown me, like, in every way possible. You know, my CT scans are looking good, you know, the first one, they done two so far. So the tumors are shrinking. My liver is very little. The lungs are clear. My abdominal cavity, they say it's clear too. The fluid also disappeared from the fluid that I had. Couldn't do it with if I did not have God beside me. And of course, you know, my family, my husband, man, this man has his love for me. I just can't explain it. Since day one, I mean, he's also on it. Like, he's been doing a lot of research and he's been giving me the best foods, researching, like, foods that help me. He's been buying veggies, you know, like for juicing. He goes to Whole Foods and Sprouts and looks around and he spends good time looking at products and making sure he's giving me the best things, you know, to eat. And I know, like, there's a lot of people, like, that been praying, you know. I believe in prayer. I'm a true believer. I pray. pray. I had conversations to God, and, you know, and He's my strength. Give Him all the credit to Him.
Has anybody else in your family ever had this type of cancer, or did this just kind of come out of nowhere?
We found out that we carry BRCA2. It's a gene mutation in my family. Four of my sisters, actually, I'm the fourth that has cancer. They have breast cancer. Two breast cancer. One is cervical. And my sister's daughters, two of those sisters have breast cancer too.
Wow. Is that what your mom died of as well, was breast cancer?
The doctor thinks so. Like I said, we're from Mexico, like I'm from a very small town, real deep in the mountains. We didn't have technology, you know, like what we do now. But they do believe that one of them had the mutation, the BRCA2.
With your two daughters at some point, will they choose the test to see?
That's the goal, right? My oldest already saw Texas Oncology, you know, so we started the process. So hopefully my daughter decides to do it. She's a little scared, of course, and I understand, you know, that she's scared to know that she has a gene, but I tell everybody, you know, early detection, you know, makes a difference.
Oh, a huge difference.
That's the message, you know, from me.
Just like your daughter treasures your history, she's now going to also know about your genetic history, which is very important for kids to know. And so I love how open you've been with her and with Aaliyah to help them understand everything.
Yes. And there's another angel that I had to mention. I mean, Ashley, she's with you guys, Wonders and Worries. And if it wasn't for her, I don't know what I would be doing right now, helping Aaliyah. Aaliyah just turned 8. I was devastated. Like, something hit me. Like, I know my family. I mean, they're everything for me. I tell you, Aaliyah, she broke my heart. I mean, 7 years old, that's the age when I lost my dad. Then my mom when I was 12, you know. And I just, the pain, I know the pain that she can or she could go through. But Ashley, you know, Wonders and Worries, she's been such an angel, really helping us. Not just Ali, I think, you know, the help that you guys given us in every way, I'll be forever, you know, grateful.
I am so glad that your family was selected as Austin American Statesman's Season for Caring Family. I love this program so much, and I feel like it is such an incredible way to support families that are trying so hard right now, like your family is.
I didn't even know what I was going to go through. I mean, studying, you know, the emotional part, you know, the psychological part, the financial part, it can be a challenge.
Oh, it can be devastating.
Devastating. Yeah. We just learned not too long ago about my insurance. They canceled my insurance, and I was trying to figure out why, you know, and I don't know what we would have done to pay all these premiums if it wasn't for you guys. No words I can explain that I'm grateful, I'm thankful, I'm beyond grateful, you know? And I just want everybody to know that to me, I mean, I don't have a list of names, but all of you know that who you are, that you are angels around.
Well, we are so hopeful that people listen to this and feel called to donate to Season for Caring, and we will link all about your family. I want to be mindful of your time, and I know that you're still recovering, even though you feel strong from your chemo. I want to just ask one last question. Is there anything that you would have to a listener that might listen to Utah, who maybe just heard about his or her new cancer diagnosis? Do you have any advice for them?
I'm just going to say, hold on tight to God's hand. Don't stop talking to him. Don't stop praying. I had to believe I'm going to be okay. And I stay positive as much as I can. I live my life as normal as I can. I still do everything at home. I stay active. I go for walks. If I have a good day, I might go to the gym, just do easy exercises when I don't have chemo. I look at nature. I spend time with my daughter, my husband, and even just staying home, just relaxing. You know, you just have to find joy, even though we're going through this. I just want to enjoy my whatever time I have left. But I do feel like I'm going to stick around for a while. I just want people out there to really, that we can find joy, you know, that we can we can believe, especially in this moment, you know, like, I know every day we should be thankful. And my husband always tells me every day should be a Thanksgiving, you know. Every day we should be grateful. And yes, you know, that's the way it should be. But sometimes we take things for granted, right? But we still can find joy. Whatever God decides, He will decide. And I respect that. But we're going to fight for sure.
Thank you for tuning in to our podcast today. Please subscribe and continue to check back as our content is ever evolving. For questions or specific content-related requests, please send an email to podcast@wondersandworries.org.